Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Freshman, I think they have a spaghetti dinner tonight.
I know that's it.
So,
Can't go nowhere.
Yeah.
it's awesome to see kids get involved. You know, coming through a lot of them getting ready to go back to school this week. And, you know, it's just awesome to you see everybody get involved. You know, with passing out, reaching out, especially with a young age, with the kids reaching out, letting the community know that we love them, we care about them, just putting, you know, a smile on people's faces. And, you know, going to have good food, good fellowship on tomorrow. And, you know, that's what it's all about. And, Rabbi, that's one of the things we want to talk about tonight. We want to talk about the importance of family, the importance of family. You know, and it seems like, you know, everything and his brother is trying to come against, you know, the family unit. And I know you, Rabbi, and myself, we grew up in a strong family. And that, you know, when you have a strong family, it makes a difference in your life. And, you know, when you really, really get down to it, if you don't have that strong family support, that strong family resource, what tends to happen is you don't bloom or blossom, you know, as fast or as well as you should. And so, you know, that's what we want to talk about tonight. We'll talk about, you know, what your experience was with family, what my experience with family, with, you know, what everyone who calls in, your experience with family, you know, and believe me, I preached a sermon on last Sunday that, you know, family is not exempt from drama. You know, you have drama in all families, and that was one of the sermons that I preached on Sunday. It was, am I my brother's keeper?
Mm-hmm.
The question, and the answer is yes. And we were talking from the Bible about Cain when he slew Abel, and, you know, that became a dysfunctional family because, you know, you had the brother murder the brother, and then you had a mother and father have to bury their son.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you have parents with a murdered son, but not only was he a murdered son, but he was murdered by his own siblings.
That's right.
But still, yet and still, you know, God used the family unit, amen, to begin to bless the world, begin to bless the world that we live in. And so, you know, we're talking about there might be some difficult things that happen in family. There might be some struggles that go along in family. But ultimately, you know, the family unit is still vital and is still important to all of our development. And so we all need to cultivate, you know, the family unit. Rebbe?
Absolutely right. You know, when we talk about the family, Pat, you know, we're talking about the foundation, you know, and, you know, everything that comes about comes as a foundation of family. And, you know, nowadays, like you say, you know, the structure of the family is destroyed, and that's why we have so many different things going on in the world that shouldn't be because of the family, the dysfunctional family. You know, when you don't grow up in a normal environment with a family, you know, it's going to hurt you in the long run. You know, if you didn't grow up with a father, it's going to hurt you in some aspects. So if you didn't have a mother, it's going to hurt you in some aspects. And so we see, you know, a lot of where those missing pieces to the family have had an effect on the offspring for generations. You know, we look at our children now who are growing up being raised by aunties, uncles, grandma and granddad, or older sibling, or, you know, older brother, older sister, you know, and it's not the family, you know, and sometimes, you know, you can try to substitute those pieces, but, you know, like the song says, nothing like the real thing.
The real
you know,
thing.
You're going to need
exactly.
a mom and a dad, and you're going to need those pieces, you know, to teach you, to nourish you, just to give you that guidance, but you know, also be able to give you that insight that you need as you try to grow up in various things in your life. And so, you know, we're trying to, that's why we're reaching out to the community to let people know that, you know, the family is where it's at. The family is the most important thing. And like you say, you know, you're going to have issues with
Absolutely.
Family. You're going to have
Absolutely.
Drama.
Yeah.
You're going to have
right.
chaos.
Right in the first book of the Bible.
You're going to want to trade a man and get somebody else. And, you know, I mean, you want to do it all because we've all been there.
Yeah.
You come from a pretty large family.
Yeah.
I come from a pretty big family. So we know that, know, that's just the nature of a family. But at the end of the day,
yes, sir,
you know, pastors, you know that if something ever goes wrong or something breaks down, you know, you still have the foundation of your family to support you and to hold you. You have something that you can always run back to. That's like that
mm-hmm.
anchor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that's that anchor that you need. Like
in
times of storm, you know, just to keep you steady and, you know, to keep you, you know, keep you grounded. So, you know, we really want to talk about, you know, the importance of the family and, you know, how the family has changed and what it is, some of the reasons why
mm-hmm.
that dynamic has changed. And most importantly, just look at the effects, you know, Pastor C, that it's had on our community.
Right.
Because, you know, one thing we talk about, we say the family, to me, is the greatest resource.
Absolutely.
You know, the greatest resource. I mean, when all else fails, you know, you should be able to go back to your family and say, you know what, I need some help, or
right.
I'm trying to get myself right.
Right.
And get that support and get that guidance. So, you know, we definitely need to start thinking about, you know, what we can do to help restore the family, especially, Pastor C, in our Black community. Because, you know, it is, and I see this firsthand, so many children grow up without the proper parental guidance. I mean, they 10 years old and
mm-hmm.
really on their own, raising themselves. So, you know, we got to get back to that, you know, to the traditional, you know, having that family.
What we want to really, really probe tonight is, what are the factors? What are the factors that have pulled us away from that traditional family unit? What has evolved over a period of time? You know, when you go back to the 60s and the 50s, and you know, during that time, in particular, the African American community, where, you know, you would hook up with one male and one female, and you have kids, and you would stick it out, and you would do whatever it took to raise that family and to make sure that your kids were taken care of. Again, it wasn't always easy, but I think sometimes, you know, when we have things too easy, I think sometimes that's when we give up, or we shortchange ourselves, or we shortchange our family. And so, you know, we're probing a question tonight. You know, what are some of the things that causes families to break down, or causes people not to want to stick in there and have a family and you know, just want to go from one place to the other place, from one person to another person, from one girl or one guy to another guy, you know, making children but not making family. You understand what I'm saying, Red B?
Yeah, we just gotten to the point where we just fertilizing, but we're not sticking around to grow the crop. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, we'll help with the process, but we won't stick around to see it through. And, you know, and one thing that, you know, you brought up a good point about, you know, the dynamics when we were growing up, you had a father, you had a mother there in the home, and, you know, even if they had conflict, they worked it out behind closed doors, and they still made it for the good of the family, the good of the children, to make sure that mommy and daddy were there, and the
mm-hmm.
kids kept
mm-hmm.
that image,
mm-hmm.
you know, that mommy and daddy were together, they were working it out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and nowadays, you know, it's, to me, it's just that lack of accountability.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about being my brother's keeper. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's a simple thing. Are you being accountable to your brother? And in the same instance, you know, you say, are you being accountable to your family?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you being accountable to your husband or to your wife and to your children? I mean, you know, these are people that are dependent on you. You know, and one thing about family, you know, everybody comes together, but everybody should be held accountable,
mm-hmm.
and everybody is dependent on one another to help make it work. And that's, I think that's what happens, is that we got to the point where, I hate to say it, we just all about self. You know,
those are the facts.
You know, we just all about self. It's just a me, myself, and our world. It's, you know, I got mine, you get yours.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to help nobody. I'm grown now, I'm not worried. I mean, you know, that's kind of how we get, you know. And I see it all the time, you know, when you come of age, you get out on your own, forget about mom
wow.
and dad, or
wow.
forget about the siblings behind you, and you just kind of feel like, you know, you've arrived, and, you know, and that's it. And that's one of the the dynamics, you know, pieces that, you know, especially in our Black community that we really, you know, lost sight of. I mean, you look at any other culture, and I know I'm going to be stereotyping, but I'm telling you, these are good stereotypes. you look at the Hispanic cultures; they're very family oriented.
Yep.
As one moves along, they take the family with them. If
Korean.
They go Korean, they do this. I mean, they all do the same thing. You know, over. I mean, they stick with each other. So even if one moves up the ladder, they don't forget about the family.
Wow.
They still put those resources
back into the family.
And that's what makes the family wealthy. You know, and we get our own and we like, all right, I'm gone. I'm out. See you. I catch you on the flip side. And I don't want to put no resources back into the family. And so that's why the family in the African-American community is not great.
Mm.
So if you look at the families in, you know, the Hispanic community,
Jewish
communities, the Asian community, their families are great because they go out, they become productive, but then they take what they get and put it back into the family and allow everybody to benefit from the success. It's prosperity for everybody.
So what you understand is they understand the
importance
of family unit.
And the importance of giving back
to
the family.
Right.
Because the family can't grow unless there's resources. You know, everybody goes out and does what they need to do, but they bring the resources back. And even if you're on your own, you know, you still don't want to forget about your family. You still want to be able to contribute back to the family. Help mom and dad out and help your younger siblings out. Or, you know, that to me, that was just something that, you know, you just did. It wasn't even asked. It wasn't questioned. It wasn't anything. You know, especially in my case, being the oldest sibling, I knew that when I got my first job and started working, I wasn't going to be, you know, so quick and heavy to jump out and get out on my own. But I said, you know what, let me stick around and help mom and dad out and contribute, help my brothers out and do whatever I needed to do. And when the time was right, I could go out on my own, but I was still connected to the family.
And that's what I grew up with also. Even when I go back in my old neighborhood now, I can name from the bottom of the street, bottom of the hill, all the way up to the top of the hill, into the cul-de-sac, around the corner, down the street, I can name every one of those families.
Every family.
New Mr. Brown, new Mr. Weir, new Mr. Johnson, new the other Brown, new
That's
the
right.
Kennedy, new the Kelly,
That's right.
all of them, new the Jackson, new the Matthews. I mean, I could go on and on.
I knew
all the children all the way around, and the parents, they stick together. Now, I'm getting ready to get a little controversial here. Rev B, divorce was a bad word back then.
Oh, yeah.
It was something that was frowned upon in the community.
That's right.
Divorce, because everybody understood the fracture that it would cause in the family. And in our neighborhood, we did have some divorces,
right.
but it was a bad word back then. But I think now divorce is a word that we use as a cop out.
It's almost like
get out of jail free card or something.
Yeah.
If you want to use that, get out of shit.
Yeah, like a free, you got a bail, like a bailout. You know, it's like you made bail or whatever. You know, and you're absolutely right. It's almost like divorce has become completely accepted in society.
Right.
You know, people say, okay, well, we want to get married, but if it doesn't work out, then we know we can always go our separate ways. You know, we talked about this before. We talked about marriage and divorce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, you got to realize that divorce has been one of the greatest destructions of the family.
Say that again, Rabbi.
Divorce has been the greatest destroyer of family.
Now, give me some biblical reference. We can
you
give
know,
you some biblical reference.
I mean, because
is God sanctioned?
God does no.
Is the Lord
no? You know, it's not. You know, when God joins you together, you know, He says no. Let no man put asunder. So that means you. It's a lifetime commitment. It's not like okay, you get mad. And you get mad at me, I get mad at you.
Let me ask you, and we get a divorce. Let me ask you, you've married people before, right?
That's right.
You say for richer or what?
For richer or for poor, for better or for worse, in sickness and health.
That's what you said, right?
Given the extreme.
Right.
So you say one extreme to the next, there's no bailout.
Right.
You know, we're going to be rich or we're going to be poor, but we're going to stay together.
Oh, word.
You're going to be sick, we're going to be well. But guess what? We still going to be together.
Right.
You know, good moments, bad moments, you name it. We still have to stay together. But the like I said, the problem is everybody wants sunshine, but they don't want to deal with
the rain.
The rain and the storm.
Watch yourself, son. Watch yourself, son.
You know, you counsel couples just as well as I've counseled couples, you know, doing the, you know, premarital counseling. And that's one thing, we really push is that marriage is important because, you know, through marriage is the founding block of the family.
Of the family.
You can't function as a family if the mother and father ain't married. I'm sorry.
And that's
you know, I'm just sorry. It's just the right way to do things. You know, and so, but like I said, you know, that divorce, you know, when it happens, is cancer.
Uh-huh.
You know, because not only does it breaks up a marriage which has been joined together, but then you're talking about the overflow of what it has on the children,
mm-hmm.
you know, and their mindset that mommy's over here and daddy's over there. And
the rest of the community.
And the rest of the community. I mean, you know, it's just, you know,
it's like a shock to the community.
Yeah.
And I think we've shocked our community so much.
They become immune to it.
They become immune to it. It's just widely accepted that, you know, you can make it on your own. You don't need a mother. You don't need a father. You don't
exactly.
need your brother. Don't need
That's
your
right.
sister.
That's right.
You got your brother keeper.
That's
you
right.
can make it by yourself.
Right. And
pull yourself up by your own bootstraps.
That's right. That's right. You know, and people will say, you know, I'm a product of a single parent, and you know, and that's fine, you know, and there are exceptions, but even I look at it like this: even if there are exceptions, Pastor Sue, doesn't make it right.
Right.
And I think people are so busy making the exceptions for everything that now
it's the rule.
It's almost the point where it's okay.
It's the rule.
It's the rule.
That's like. Right.
You know, it's okay if you don't have a father. Really, is it okay that I don't have a father that's not in my life?
And I think young people are growing up thinking that it's
exactly.
okay because
yeah.
that's what they see. And so what happens is what they think is family is the family unit is not what God's original design of the family unit
right.
is.
Right. And so their idea of family is, you know, okay, well, mommy got a boyfriend, we call him uncle,
right.
and blah, blah, no, you know, and every other month or every other, it's a different uncle, uncle this, uncle that,
oh my
you know,
goodness.
And so it's like they never see any consistency,
and
as soon as they get comfortable with a figure,
they call him that.
That figure. All of a sudden, it's out of the picture.
Now you got a new daddy.
And then there's
him that.
That's right. Then there's another scar that this child is dealing with. Then he comes and leaves, and it's another scar added.
Yeah.
And then he comes and leaves, and that, you know, and so all through life, these children are being wounded
mm-hmm.
because they're looking for some consistency, and they can't find it. And so what happens is, Pastor C, they grow up. And they mimic the same thing. They're in and out
mm-hmm.
of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
They can't never find anything solid or consistent. Because guess what? They never experienced that. And so when you grow up not experiencing stuff like that, it's hard to be able to pursue something that you've never seen or never had.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we've gotten to the point in our society now where relationships falter because people have grown up in homes where there hasn't been a grounded, consistent relationship over a period of time. Everything
mm-hmm.
is here, then you transition to here, then you go here, then, you know, and so that's all they see, that's all they know. And, of course, as children, they
mm-hmm.
learn through observing.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever they see done, they're going to assume, well, this is the way I grew up,
right.
then this is the way that it has to be. And so that's why we see a lot of the foundations of the family have just crumbled.
Yeah, it's crumbled, and people wonder why, you know, we have so many struggles in our community because that family unit is not singing anymore.
That's right.
it's not there. It's almost frowned upon. It's almost like that's something that's old fashioned, that doesn't allow me to express who I am. I should be able to go out and, you know, do whatever I want to do. But at the end of the day, the most well people in the community are the people that have a good, solid, established family.
That's right.
And like you said, particularly in the African American community, you know, a lot of times the daddy is MIA. Sometimes the girls don't even know who the father is.
They don't know who the father is. That's why they get on MIA. That's why they go on the Maury Povich show every week.
Oh, my goodness.
Keep with Maury in business.
Oh, my.
Because ain't nobody on there but who?
Oh, my goodness.
Ain't nobody on there but us.
Great.
Ain't nobody on there but us.
It's embarrassing.
It's sad that you don't even know who your father is. And that picture, that image that you see on Maury is what our family has. Especially in the African American
community. Dysfunctional.
Dysfunctional. Because the majority of the women that go in there are our people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they don't know who the father is. And then the father got 4, 5, 6 other kids by other women. That's
mm-hmm.
what it's become. It's mm-hmm. almost like we don't even have a family anymore. We just have an industry of baby making.
Yeah.
That's what it's a factory.
Mm-hmm.
You show up, do what you need to do, have the baby, go on to the next.
Right.
That's pretty much what it's pretty much what we've become. It's almost like, you know, those puppy pals that you see on TV where they just
dog meals. Yeah,
puppy meals. You
yeah.
have all these kids and
right.
puppies in this meal, and the dogs don't even know who their father is.
Yeah.
You know, they just go in, they just produce, and they go on about their business. That's what the African-American family has become. It's become like a baby.
And it's almost, like I said, to the point where that is frowned upon. It's almost like, you know, people, you know, they like the Huxtable, you know, with Bill Cosby and
Felicia Rashad.
Mm-hmm. You know, they liked it, but they a lot of people criticized it because they said that wasn't reality.
But see, and it may not have been reality, but you know what? To me, and I may just look at this different. That should be something that you want to strive for.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be like, you know, Bill. You don't want to be like Bill and Clinton. You know, or even to put the flip side on that.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even mind being like Florida and James Evans.
Right.
They stuck together.
They stuck together, right.
Two extremes.
All the drama, right.
Two extremes.
All the drama.
You got one family in the ghetto, one family in the suburbs living a good life. But guess what? They were both families
mm-hmm.
that worked it out. They all had problems. They were different problems, different issues. But at the end of the day, they had a father that was there, did what he was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and had a wife, a father that was there for her children.
Mm-hmm.
And that those are prime examples to be of what an African-American family should be, regardless of the financial situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most people were like, on good times, they'd be like,
right.
I ain't gonna stick this out.
Right, right.
You know. But they were able to stick it out, you know, and they sacrificed and they did exactly what they needed to do for the good of the family. But you know, that's old school, right?
Yeah, that's old school.
People don't see that stuff
on TV.
You don't even see
it
on TV. People don't live like
that. And they don't want to see that.
They don't want to see that because that's old fashioned. We don't do that no more. You know, if my husband ain't got a good job, we won't be getting married. Period.
Yeah.
Because people don't get married for love. Come on, bitch.
No. And
it's
that's
for financial stability.
But that's another show. we want you guys to get involved tonight. The number 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. If you want to get involved in the conversation tonight, we're talking about the importance of family. The importance of family. And it's something where I referenced the biblical story of Cain and Abel. How you know, it's easy for us to say this is the way it should be, this is the way, you know, traditionally it should be. How did Noah and his wife deal with this dysfunction, this murder that occurred? Your boy murdered your other boy. And how do you deal with such things in your life?
Right. Yes.
How do you deal with that, Reverend? I mean, things happen in people's families. You know, we have people in our churches and in our communities where their sons have murdered somebody, their daughters have murdered somebody. They they're going to jail, you know, if somebody's been murdered or someone's become an alcoholic or drugs or, you know, all of these things that can happen in family, what is the glue that holds it all together?
And I think that's the piece right there. You know, we were often told as children, I don't know how this is in your family, but my mother always said, whatever happens in the family,
Things in the family.
You know, and I think what happens now is so much stuff that goes on in the family it's outside of the family, and basically that weakens, you know. And I always thought, you know, that in times of conflict, that's when the family gets stronger and become closer together, you know. But in cases like this, when you have conflict, almost like the family, everybody's pointing fingers at one another and saying, well, it's your fault or it's his fault or you should have been a better mother or you should have been a better father or, you know, and it's the finger point.
Yeah.
But the thing that I understand is that, you know, trouble's going to come to everybody.
I'm getting ready to go.
It's just a matter of how you deal with it. But I feel like, if this is the word I know you like to use, we outsourcing our problems to the world to help us when we really could just come together and deal with it as a family, you know.
Can I go ahead? And we're preaching on this subject.
All right. I'm not going to preach. I am too.
Does God have enough grace? Does he give us enough grace? Does he have enough grace for a dysfunctional family? Does he have enough grace? Can God give me enough grace to be able to go through a difficult time, have my feelings and my everything, my disappointment, kick to the curb, step back, step back, disappointment. Does he have enough grace? In other words, does he have enough ability to allow me to be able to get through this thing without losing my mind?
Because
that's what it takes, Rebbe.
He says it as well. I mean, you know, when Paul came to him three times and said, look, I got an issue.
Yeah.
And I need you to get rid of this issue.
Three times.
And God was like, nah, I'm not getting rid of the issue, but my grace is sufficient. And that's the thing that we have to realize is that
you gotta have some love and some grace in your family.
Yeah. You gotta have that love and
grace. Yeah, you gotta understand that we're not always gonna get it right.
You gotta have some compassion, you gotta have some grace, you gotta have some mercy, you gotta have some spirit.
As mad as you might be at yourself,
you gotta be able to empathize, sympathize.
The whole gamut.
The whole everything. Everything that falls under that umbrella of forgiveness, because those are all
elements of
forgiveness, that grace, you know, and we have to, and it's so very hard to do that.
But it's vitally important to the family.
It's vitally important to the family, because if you don't, then all you're doing is destroying the family. And this is why, you know, you have families that fall apart when things happen, because there's no grace in that formula. You know, there's no understanding, there is no forgiveness. It's just, they almost want to just, you know, expel you from the family.
Right.
Kick you out and label you the black sheep of the family and say you're no good and don't come back. But the family should always be understanding of everything and realize everybody's going to make mistakes.
Everybody
is not perfect. We all going to have our issues. And whatever those issues are, you still going to need your family to support you, because the world's not going to do it. Your friends are not going to do it. Your money, none of that.
You'll come up short.
Everybody's going to come up short. But your family should be the one at least say, you know what, if don't nobody else got my back, I know that when I fall, my family's going to catch me.
Yeah. And it's not a thing where you have to support people in their wrong.
Mm-mm. No,
it's a thing that you love them enough to tell them this wrong,
right?
And then bring the resources alongside to help them to get right.
That's right. It's almost like it's just like that principle of the prodigal son.
Yeah.
You know, the family was still there after he got out of his stinking mess. You know what I'm saying? And that's when, because when he came to himself, I ain't preaching, but I'm just saying, when he came to himself, he said, at least after the women and
the honey
and
the hog, yeah,
eating hog food. Yeah, he was eating with the hog.
Jewish man eating hog food.
That's right. You know, after all that had gone away, he was down to the lowest point, nothing kosher. He said, at least I can go back home. And the father didn't do nothing but accept him, love him, just as he always did.
But there was still some drama there.
Still some drama
with
the other brother. You know? But the father had to put him in place, too.
He handled it.
He had to put him in place. And that's what the family does. Because that could have been another Cain and Abel.
Exactly.
He like, now he going to go out and party and spend all his inheritance, and they're going to come back and have a party.
Give him a ring
and put
new suit
and drink and be married on his account. And I've been here all along, and I don't get nothing. You know, that could have been
another Cain and Abel.
That could have been another Cain and Abel. But the like you say, the father, the family, held it together, put it in support, had compassion for both the son that was there and the son that left. And they were able to still move on and function.
There's enough grace there to deal with it.
And it was so good because even with that story, a piece of the family was broken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it could have stayed broken even if the son hadn't came back, if the father didn't have that understanding and
mm-hmm.
that forgiveness. So, you know, you're able to see that. That's what the family needs to have. You know, people there that are understanding and supportive. They're not going to, you know, condone your wrong.
No, not at all.
But they're still going to love you in spite of what you've done. They're going to tell you you're wrong.
Right.
But they're going to love you the same way. And that's kind of that tough love. You know, when your daddy beat you and then you say, but you know I love you.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, but it hurt, though.
But you know, one of the hardest things.
I'm going to beat you, but I love you.
And one of the hardest things. As a parent, and I, everybody knows I have a daughter and a son, when they were growing up, one of the hardest things to do was discipline them, you know, because you have to wait, you know, do they really understand it? And if they do understand it and they choose to be willfully disobedient, then there have to be consequences. Because if they grow up and continue to be willfully disobedient in the world, then the end result is they can end up dead.
That's right.
And so that's where, as a father, I had to step in and make sure they understood, you know, what the flaw was, what the fault was, and explain to them the decision they should have made and the decision that they should have made, the consequences of the decisions they should have made, and the consequences of the decision when they make the wrong decision. And if they understand it and they willfully disobey or disobedient, that they could put their lives in jeopardy. And so as a father, the head of the family, it was my responsibility to discipline them, to let them know that there's going to be consequences in the house when you willfully, you know what's right, you know what the rules are, you willfully disobey, for me to correct them. And it was hard to spank my child. It was hard on me to see them cry, but I knew that if I didn't correct them while they were in adolescence or child age, that they would continue to be willfully disobedient and possibly go out and do something, make the wrong choice, and kill themselves. I mean, they still can make those choices, but they understood that daddy and mama were looking out for them to make them understand that willful disobedience will lead to your destruction and lead to your demise. And so that's why it's important for your father and your mother to chastise you as a young person so you can know right from wrong and so you can grow and make the right decision. And it's not like you beat them all the time or whoop them all the time. It was a thing where if you made the rules and you told them what was right, what was wrong, what were the consequences, and if you get them one, two good times, that's where I used to get my son. I didn't want to break his spirit, but I wanted to let him know that, you know, there were some consequences in the house that eventually they would make the right decisions. And later on in life, like you and I, you know, from those whoopings or those beatings, that we would actually that we would actually be able to thank our parents for not letting us get by with anything. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And it's important to understand that in a family, you need that structure. You need that discipline. You need those boundaries. Because if you don't, you're going to push the edge, you're going to push the envelope, and you're going to be out there, and you're going to make a mistake. And my parents used to say, your behind going to try to cash a check, but you can't write a check, you can't cash.
That's right. And, like you said, one thing that, the world is not going to be as lenient or as forgiving as a parent is with a whipping.
Right.
When the world whips you, that's something totally different.
You're going down.
You're going down, When a parent whips you, they're just trying to set a precedent here to let you know that, what you're doing is wrong.
You need to make better decisions.
Make better decisions. But, the world is not going to be as forgiving and as understanding. So, we have to set those rules and set those limitations and set those parameters so that when they do get out in the world, it's like you still hear your mom and dad's voice in the back of your mind saying, you need to watch yourself. You need to be careful. Watch who you're hanging out with. Those are the things that I tell you, they always come back. My dad used to say, you may just be listening to me now, but you're going to hear me later. It's so prevalent. I mean, I would listen when I say hear him.
Right.
But nowadays, it's like, man, you really hear and understand what was being told to you, because you see some of those instances where if you didn't have that foundation and you didn't understand the rules and parameters set forth as a child, there's no way you'd be able to function in society. And a lot of times that's what happens, is people can't function in society because they've grown up as it's almost like taking a wild animal and try to put them in a functioning society.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen. If you've never been trained, to function appropriately in a situation, you're not going to be successful. And that's what the family is for. The family is designed to teach you, designed to, give you protocol,
nurture
you, and guide you, and know the difference between right and wrong, and understanding what to look for and what to watch out for, and all of these things, so that when you get out on your own, you'll be able to function properly and be able to handle the responsibility of being independent.
Mm-hmm.
And so many children who grow up in dysfunctional families don't know how to. They don't know how to be keepers of themselves, let alone their brothers keep.
My goodness.
You can't keep your brother if you can't keep yourself. But we're gonna go on something.
you're good. Again, if you wanna be a part of this conversation tonight, you can call in 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. Again, we're on location at Heart of God Baptist Church this evening.
Amen.
People are getting flyers out in the community. They're dealing with getting people to know that we're doing another August free day on tomorrow. Let people know we're going to be here from 11 to 3 p.m. On tomorrow at 7100 Chesapeake Road in Landover Hills, Maryland. We'll be at Suites 205 and 206. We'll be out in the parking lot. We're doing free hot dogs and music and good conversation and fellowship. Just trying to get folks a little hand up as they go back to school. And we're thankful for Deacons at Heart of God and the youth that are getting these things out. And they got a big old spaghetti dinner going on out there.
All right.
They got the movie set up, and they're going to have a good fellowship after they've ministered to the community, and go home, get a few hours of sleep, and come on back and minister again to the community. And we're just glad, Rev B, that God has given this vision that back in April, all of these things weren't going on, but the vision has come to fruition, and we're just grateful to everyone that has contributed whatever way you contributed. We thank, you know, God, for all of our listeners and encouragement, those that have hit us up on Facebook and Twitter, and the calls have been outstanding. And, you know, we just want to be a resource, like tomorrow, that free giveaway. It's going to be a resource for the family, because we have baby kids, we got little girls' kids, we got, you know, teenage girls' and boys' kids, we got adult shoes, you know, suits, things like that. All of those things help the family. You know, that's what we're here at Pastors ACDC, is, you know, we recognize that when the family is doing well, the community is doing well. When the family unit is doing well, our communities are doing well. So it's up to us to support, you know, this in every way that we can, every way possible, to give the families a hand up, to give them something that will help their pocketbook. If you don't have to buy two pair of jeans, only have to buy one pair of jeans, that's a big help.
That's right.
You know, that will help your food budget go a little bit further. And so that's what we're trying to do. Whatever way, you know, God has led us to do that, that's what we're going to do. And we're just grateful for everything that has transpired with Pastors ACDC since the month of April. Reb B?
Definitely. And don't forget, you can also hit us up on Facebook and Twitter. For those of you who are just now joining us, don't forget Facebook, which is Pastors A, which is Pastors with an F. And don't forget, you can hit us up on Twitter as well, and that's PACDC316. So definitely, if you want to follow us, send us a tweet, give us some feedback or whatever, we definitely appreciate all of you all who definitely been reaching out to us.
Absolutely.
And just going back and listening to the archive shows, Law Talk, appreciate that as well. And don't forget, as Pastor Steve said, hit us up. You want to dial it 347-264-5569. But as we've been saying all night, we've definitely been excited about the great things that are happening. Of course, tomorrow is another third Saturday, which is our traditional free Saturday that we do. This is the fourth go around. I can't believe this is the fourth month in which we've been doing this. But God is good, and I tell you, every time we do it, it's just been a blessing. So we know that the more we do for God, the more He's going to do for us.
Absolutely.
In return. And so even if you just come out and just show your face tomorrow, you know, that would be a blessing in itself. And if you want to bring something, please, ma'am, please, sir, you know, come on by. It would definitely be greatly appreciated, because we know that it's something that will be used. It definitely
Right.
will be used to help better the community, and most importantly, help to meet the needs of those who are less fortunate. Because we know right now that times are hard for
Absolutely.
A lot of people. You know, the unemployment rate is still high, and resources are very limited in certain areas, and prices for stuff have just increased, you know,
yeah.
daily.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to go someplace and say, we're going to give stuff away for free.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
You know, that's a word that you don't ever hear about. And when we say free, there's no fine print under that word. You know, there's no hidden agenda. You come, you see it, you want it, it's yours. Free. It's free. You can take it home and use it. So we're definitely excited about everybody. You know, we're going to thank everybody from Heart of God to New Birth to
mm-hmm.
whoever
mm-hmm.
has contributed clothes and whatever. I tell people, it's just been pouring out stuff as far
yeah.
as just giving, and we thank God for that giving spirit, that people have been cheerful giving.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, they haven't been giving it grudgingly. Or,
no, not at all. Not at all.
They've given it out of the kindness of their hearts. You know, and we really do appreciate that very kind act. You know, because, like I say, people don't have to be
right.
nice.
Exactly.
People don't have to be nice, so we
One
definitely
of,
thank God.
One of the resources that we're grateful tonight is Pastor Beth Ross. She's the overseer of Revelation Knowledge Kingdom Church. She's been on our broadcast several times. She has been constantly updating us with resources. And one of the resources that she's given us in the D.C. metropolitan area is from Reverend Kelly Wilkins of Covenant Baptist Church, Frank. He's the Minister of Social Justice and Reentry, Rebbe. We were talking about the dysfunctional family, and he works in the area of helping those who have a criminal record reenter society, which is, you know, family needs to understand that when someone is incarcerated and they have paid a debt to society and recognize the errors of their way, there needs to be a way for them to re-enter back into society to become part of their family again. So he has sent Reverend Overseer Yvette Ross information on some jobs that are coming up. And, they're a part of DCUSA, and a fellow by the name of David Stein passes on. They said that Target is hiring the area for the busy holidays, DCUSA, and particular positions are overnight stocking, floor sales are available. Candidates can apply at www.target.com and enter the zip code 20010. That's 20010 for the Columbia Heights store. You can pick up a paper application at Target Employment Kiosk. That's located at 3100 14th Street on the second floor of DCUSA Shopping Complex. So that's great information. If you have a criminal record, this is a second chance for you.
That's right.
And then also the Lime Fresh Mexican Grill restaurant is have a opening August 28th of this year, and that's at 14th and Atrium. It's the Lime Fresh, and they have more than 50 positions to fill. So you can look them up online, www.limefreshmexicangrill.com. And then finally, the DSW Shoe Warehouse will be opening at DCUSA on or about October 4th. And again, we will get that information out to you, but we thank God for Reverend Kelly Wilkins, the Covenant Baptist Church, who's the Minister of Social Justice and Reentry. You can reach that office at 202-562-5576. It's 202-562-5576. And, you know, this is what we're doing at Pastor's Aid CDC. You know, when we realize that people need to make reentry back into society, they pay their debt to society, And there needs to be a way, like he was saying, with their prodigal son, for them to be able to re-enter back into society. And so that's why it's important for family members like at Revelation Knowledge, like at Covenant Baptist, like at New Birth, like at Heart of God, to be a resource to be able to put these resources in people's hands that they can get a second chance of being reacclimated into the family. And soon we're going to be putting this type of information on our website. We'll be putting that on the Blog Talk Radio website. And this type of information is greatly needed. And so please, ma'am, please, sir, when you get this information, forward it to us at our Facebook page or on our Twitter, and we will get it on the website. We want to be a clearinghouse for jobs that will help the family. Again, you know, the holidays are coming up, and over at DCUSA, they have Target, they have Lime Fresh Mexican Grill. They're definitely trying to put it out there that people can have a place where they can start, Rev.
Mm-hmm.
You can't rise to the top real quick, but when you come back and reentry, or you got someone that's been out of work, you know, this place has 50 positions open. You know, it might not be that you're working 40 hours a day, but you can get your foot in the door, start somewhere, Target, you know, stocking shelves and working at night. Start somewhere. Show yourself that you've seen the errors of your way, and you want to be a positive resource to your community, and start somewhere. So, you know, we're going to be putting these things out again. We thank Yvette Ross, Elder Ross, Revelation Knowledge. She's constantly shooting the stuff. And that's what we want all pastors and ministers or anybody, you know, that are involved in this type of reacclimation of people back into society, into families. This is the type of thing that we need. And we've got to stick together and to keep the family unit together, get us all working together as a family, because that, Rebbe, is when we're going to experience wellness in our community. Rebbe,
that's absolutely right, Pastor C. You know, and that is one of the most difficult things, to be able to get your foot back into the door.
Mm-hmm.
And even when, especially for, you know, ex-prisoners returning back into society, they've already paid their debt to society, but you know, the world is still not as understanding and as forgiving. And so for a lot of these gentlemen, a lot of them wind
and
up
women.
Going, and women, they wind up going back into the prison system because there's no opportunities out here for them to succeed. We're not willing to hire persons who have to check the box that, yes, they've been convicted of a felony,
yeah,
you know, and have served time, you know. But
where do they go?
And exactly. And so where do they go? And basically, it's almost like we're forcing them to go back into that life of crime or whatever that life that they came from that had them, you know, incarcerated the first time around. So, you know, we're glad that places like the Lime Mexican Grill, places like Target are willing to reach out, you know, to ex, you know, ex-prisoners and those who've been incarcerated, give them a second chance to give and say, you know what, I got to start,
yeah.
I got my foot in the door, and I'm going to make the best of my opportunity. No, and that's all we're looking for is just to be able to say, you know what, can we find it someplace in our heart to give somebody a second chance?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what, you know, we should be willing to do. And that, to me, that's a component.
Right.
That's a principle of the family, is to be willing to give, you know, the members of your family a second chance when they've gone out and done something wrong or whatever. It's got to be that second chance, you know, and that's sometimes that's what people need to get
mm-hmm.
back on track, is to know that they've been forgiven and to know that they've got a second chance to get it right. So we, like I said, you know, we're excited about these jobs, the great work that they're doing. They've been around for a long time, you know, helping you know, ex-prisoners, those who've been locked up for a long time, you know, to be able to come back and make that transition
right.
back into that. Because it's very hard. It's very hard to make that transition, especially when you know the people are not going to be accepting
right.
of you
right.
because of your background and what you have done.
So right.
We're definitely thankful. I tell you, that's a great resource for people who are listening tonight or will go back to listen. If you know somebody that's looking for a job,
right.
you know, that has criminal background or whatever, help them out.
Yeah.
Help them out. That's
pass great. Information on. And that's always you do.
It's a great resource. And stuff like this,
yeah.
which is, you know, should be heavily promoted,
right.
and it's not.
Right.
You know,
it's the D.C. USA shopping
yeah.
complex.
Yeah.
It's like 3100 14th Street. On the second floor, you can go into the kiosk, you can apply at Target, you can apply at the Lime Fresh Grill, you can apply at the DSW, and then if that person is having a problem, you can contact Minister Kelly Wilkins, minister at Covenant Baptist Church, and he's the minister of Social Justice and Reentry. Social Justice and Reentry, and it's the number is 202-562-5576, and he says if they deny you, he says you deny, let him know. Now that's a resource for you.
That's right.
That's a resource. He says if they are denied based on a criminal record,
mm-hmm.
they would like to know. They would like to know. So please, ma'am, please, sir, pass that on. If you have any other type of information like this, go to our Facebook page, put it out there, put it on our Twitter, so we can get this information. And again, coming real soon, we're going to be developing a website where all of this information can be in one place, job opportunities, different type of programs to help our community. We're going to be laying them out from all across the United States and beyond, where people can have resources to be able to help develop the family community. This is really
exciting, what is just the grassroots of something that's going to be so powerful that so many people can be blessed with. It's just real exciting. Again, we're talking about the importance of the family unit tonight. If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can call us at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. We're at the top of the hour already. Oh my goodness. So we're going to take a break and we're going to come back. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Chesapeake Road, Landover Hills, right off of 450.
That's right. In Maryland.
That's right, in Maryland. It's 205 and 206. So please come on out tomorrow and just stay for a little bit.
Hey.
Stay for a little bit.
You know?
Stay the whole time. Stay the whole time. But definitely come on out tomorrow. Bless. Be a blessing.
That's right. That's right.
Definitely.
And, you know, we thank God for our young people and our deacons that, you know, on a Friday night, you know, this is like a family thing to us. Go out, fellowship with the community, come back, have something to eat, you know, and watch a movie. That, what more of a family can you get than that?
Folks don't even do that. There's no such thing as a family night out. You know, they don't do that. No.
Wow.
They don't do that. No family night out. You know, you be a family night out or family dinner. Families don't even eat dinner together. You know, just like lost art forms, you know, lost principles of the family. No more family vacation.
Yeah.
No more eating at the dinner table. No more family outings. It's just, you know, that family, that word just itself is just almost
what has happened?
It almost has become invisible. You know, we've gotten to the point where I said it before, you know, Pastor said that it's just like become so individualized, you know, our world, like just living a bubble.
And in the term, I'm gonna do me. You do you.
Exactly.
I'm gonna do me.
I got mine. You get yours. You know, and that's pretty much
you do you. You know
what it's become. It's just everybody is just out for themselves. Everybody is concerned about the family or the wellness of the family. It's just about me. I'm gonna do me, and I got mine. You get yours. Get myself and I ain't worried about.
So how's that work? How's that worked out for our community?
Well, you can see how it's worked out. You know, it ain't working. I mean, you know, our communities are just, you know, they're dying. They're dying daily. You know? Have children that grow up without proper guidance, instruction. It's just, you know, nothing to depend on, nothing to rely on. Nothing. There's nothing there. There's no nothing. There's no structure. You know, there's no structure. So when you don't have any structure, as they say, you know, you're liable to fall for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we see, that our children just fall prey and fall victim to anything and everything, because there's not a foundation of family to keep them grounded and stay. It was a person to be successful individuals.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like you say, you know, it's just kind of like, mono-e-mono, every man for themselves. What you need to do, dog-eat-dog world. You survive on your own, survival of the fittest. I mean, just that whole, you know, there's no team atmosphere anymore.
You're absolutely right.
None of that is. It's got to the point now. It's just all about individual. Not to say that it's everywhere, but go to our inner city and our lower socioeconomic status area. That is the main reason why we have the majority of those issues. It's because there is a lack.
And you end up hooking up with gangs and organizations.
And then you wind up.
That becomes your family.
That becomes your family, or you wind up in school, or just for the sake of saying you're with somebody and you end up feel comfortable, but you know it's not right, you know, and so, you know, you start reaching, because when you don't have that family need, that you'll start gravitating towards other things to replace
that.
You can't do
that. That's it.
You can't. There's one thing you can't replace them, and I don't care who the gang is, I don't care who the crew is, or who the clique is, or whoever.
What organization,
affiliation, whatever. You can do all of that, but it's still, at the end of the day, not your family. You know, and y'all can be blood brothers and all that other stuff, but at the end of the day, it's still not your family. You can't give you what a true family is.
That's awesome. And it's almost like we're in denial a little bit. It's like we're in denial that you know, we've tried all this, either mono or I got got mine, you get yours, or I'm going to do me, you do you.
Yeah.
And we've seen what that produces. That doesn't produce a strong community. And this is, you know, that's the view of Pastors Aid CDC, is that if you give the resources and the community takes advantage of the resources that are going to make them strong, then you'll experience wellness in your community. And so we don't experience wellness. We experience drama. We experience chaos. We experience dysfunction because the family unit is not given or not taking advantage of resources that will build them up and that will build up our community, strengthen our community so the community can experience wellness. And, you know, people say, well, you talk about wellness. But when you're doing well, you're doing good.
That's right.
The opposite of well is sick.
That's correct.
and so when you experience
either one or the other, that's it. It's one or the other. Either you're well or you're not. You know, people that are well, they ain't sick. People that are sick, they ain't well.
I much rather be well.
That's correct. You know, and that's how you have to look at it. You know, and so, you know, the community is not well. Therefore, the community is sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we don't have families, and so that's why the community suffers.
Exactly. They suffer ill.
Ill effects, you know, of dysfunctional,
right,
or just even absent, mm-hmm, families. You know, that those principles and those concepts are not being instilled in any person.
Mm-hmm.
So you, people just grow up just living life and not knowing how to do anything, not knowing how to establish proper relationships, you know, all these other. That's why we have these issues with high divorce rates. Why we have these issues with abusive relationships. You know, that's why we have these issues with single family parents. You know, and you have all of these things because the family,
mm-hmm,
has caused all of these other things to happen.
Mm-hmm. And people will really get touchy when you start talking about with, mm-hmm, single parents.
Yeah.
Single parents. And you know, you really look at it and you say, wow, this really brings a burden to our community. And the plague that you know, I'll share with you, you know, a lot of the inspiration came from earlier in my ministry,
mm-hmm,
that I was ministering to youth, and it was about, I would say, 30 young girls in the ministry. And I would say, without blinking an eye, that about almost 90% of them have gone on to be single mothers.
And that's a lot of reasons as to why that happened. A lot of reasons.
And
if you name it, I guarantee you that's a reason. You know. But it all goes back to
And I could go back and I could tell you that the majority of them were in single parents,
mm-hmm,
in the church, but didn't have the mother or the father there. And the mothers were raising them. Now, some of them, I can say some of them did have a mother or father, but the majority of them, they didn't have that mother and father relationship. And so now you see that I would say almost 90% of them have gone on to have children without the father, outside the bonds of marriage.
And you know, Pastor C, and we said this earlier, that it's so hard to find something that you've never seen. I want to say it's almost impossible to know what you're looking for if you've never seen it. And in many cases, people are trying to find relationships with people but have never seen what a good relationship is,
yeah,
because they've never grew up in a home where a mother loved, you know, the father loved the mother unconditionally, and they were able to work it out and still love each other. And they've never seen that. So if you've never seen that, how do you know what to look for?
Look around in your churches,
you know.
Do you see that relationships that last 30, 40, 50, 60 years anymore?
Very seldom. You have a few cases, but for the most part,
the exception, not the rule.
That's right. And it's almost like, that's just them. They just old. But I mean, even in your churches, it's the same thing in the church.
And a lot of folks ain't gonna listen to this program because you're telling the truth.
Because I'm telling the truth. Because even in the church, you have people in there that have either been divorced, never married, or it's the truth. It's very seldom.
And it turns you off, man. And it turns you off.
It's very seldom that you walk into a church. You may find a few, but it's like you say.
It's
an exception, not a rule. You walk into church, that's what you should see. But unfortunately, as we say now, the church mirrors society. It mirrors society. So whatever we see in society is almost like it's being mirrored in the church. You don't see relationships, you don't see families in society. You don't see families in church.
Come on, say that again.
The church mirrors society. And so if you don't see families in society, you can't expect to see families in churches. And I'm going to go on this right here. And me and you say this all the time. There are no men in church now.
No.
Ain't no men in church. Ain't no men in church. They won't come to church. To see us is an exception.
Exactly.
Not the rule.
Not the rule. Exactly.
And that's been like that for years. And so, if men ain't going to church, why do you think they ain't going to church? Because they ain't in the home.
Right.
So, plain and simple. So, who's in the church? Single parent mamas with their children. Trying the best that they can.
Struggling.
But they trying the best that they can.
Yeah.
But that's been a precedent that has been set for years, that the male has been an absent figure in the church. The majority of the people in church are women.
And they make up 'cause
he's absent in the home. Majority of the church, 75-80% of the church are probably women. Period. In the conversation. And so if he ain't in church, guess where he also ain't? And in the home. And if he ain't in the home, he definitely ain't gonna be in church. That's just common sense. But like you said, the church mirrors what is seen in society. You have single parent mamas doing the best that they can.
They're trying to be the family with a missing piece.
That's right. They trying to pull double weight. And they're doing a great job, and I commend all.
Absolutely.
I commend all the single parent mothers, and in some cases,
and fathers also
who are pulling both ends of the other stick there. But they're getting it done. But like you say, that's almost become the rule.
Yeah.
Or shall I say the exception and not the rule? You know what I'm saying? But it's just.
But it was devastating for me to go back and take the inventory of those 30 young ladies or young girls, and to see them get picked off one by one. Almost 90% of them.
Because you know what, Pastor C? Like I said, they don't have the foundation.
Because they can come on Sunday, and I can preach it to them until I'm blue in the face. But Sunday afternoon, they're going to get attacked by what's out in society.
And you got to have that foundation. You almost got to have that covering.
Yeah.
Got to have that
all
that,
the 24/7?
Yeah. Because when you leave church, you're going to get attacked.
Absolutely.
You want to be persuaded.
You're going to be bombarded.
You're going to be bombarded with the temptation and the flesh and the spirit of whoremongering, as we like to say. It's going to be there.
Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah.
It's real. And the more you resist it, the stronger it's going to come at you. But where do you say, I've got enough willpower to resist it? But the problem is that we're leaving our young ladies out here unprotected.
Exposed to them.
Exposed to the enemy. Why? Because there's no family.
No family.
The family is the protection. Right. How you going to go to a battle and you ain't got no
protection?
No protection. you know. And the enemy's not just going to be aiming for one spot. He's going to be coming from all directions.
All the time. Daddy's not there.
Mommy's not there.
Girls not there.
That's right. They coming from all angles.
And,
you know,
and they going down.
Going down one by one by one. They popping up, just having babies after babies, and we just putting them out there. They just unprotected, unguarded. You know, we're taking our beautiful jewels. You know what I'm saying, Doc? And you have a daughter.
Yeah.
So you know. And
it's a constant battle.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like you're putting her out there, and she's got nothing to protect her.
Yeah.
So even when the temptation comes, if she ain't got no family, bad English, she has nothing to go back to shield her from all of that temptation. So what do? They fall victim to it.
Exactly.
You know, and so that's where your 90% comes in. You know, your 27 out of 30 or whatever. You know, that's where it comes into play. You know, because when they come to church, they're protected for that
right.
little piece of time.
That hour, 2 hours.
That hour or two. When they get back out in the world, because there's no family, there's nothing to protect them. You know,
It's critical.
And, but that's happening with our females. It's happening to our brothers all the time. It's putting them out there.
And they think they're just supposed to conquer.
Right.
Conquer and destroy. They're supposed to be players.
Exactly.
What's up, players?
And that's not getting them nowhere either. You know, and so it's just.
And I've seen a lot of players come in, make one baby, two baby, three baby. Now they got jobs,
right.
But they ain't bringing home no money.
That's right.
Because the state is fucking
garnishing
that check.
They're garnishing
them. And now they're miserable.
They're garnishing them. Yeah, that's right.
Because they got the baby mama drama.
That's right.
And they got to pay all this. I've seen them. They come to
and those are 18-year investments,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
That's not a one-year investment.
That's
18 years worth.
I got friends. I got people like counsel. I got these guys. They're miserable.
And don't get behind, Doc.
No, because
they really
going to cuffs on.
Yeah, they really going to come for you.
Put the cuffs on.
That's right. I got a cousin in jail now for that one thing.
Got the cuffs on.
Got the cuffs on him because he didn't want to be the dad.
Yeah.
You know, want to make the baby.
Yeah.
Don't want to be the dad.
But that's real. And
that's
what we're talking about tonight. Don't tune us out. This is real. I know it's not a popular subject.
Right.
And you know, but you have to address this. You have to start, you know, jogging people's minds and say, this is for real. This is the real deal. This is what's going on. This is the trouble you can get. These guys, they're getting their checks hammered. I mean,
they're not even seeing a check.
They're getting hacked.
Yeah. I mean, and then they're getting stuff taken away from them. They get the driver's license revoked. You know, I mean, everything. And it's almost a state of embarrassment.
And people have been fooled into thinking that, you know, if I can be a donor and not a father, you know. And I'm getting fooled into that. That it's okay to be a donor and not a father, you know. And getting fooled into that, to say I don't need to be a part of the family. I just need to donate the seed. I donate the seed. I'm good. I don't need to be a part of the family.
I'm just helping in the birth process. That's
yeah.
They don't want to be accountable or responsible.
Being there, the family there for the long run.
Right. And the fathers, the leaders of the family. So that brings up a whole nother issue is that now you're trying to function and you don't even have your head in charge. The leader of your family is invisible. I know women are going to be mad and upset, but we understand the parameters here that the man was designed to be the head and the woman was designed to be the helpmeet. That's scripture.
Yeah.
So how can you function if there is no... Here we go. Prime example. Say you don't show up as the pastor of heart of God for 2 or 3 months. You tell me what this church will be like when you
show up. Yeah.
Exactly.
Doing their own thing.
They'd be doing their own thing. It'd be complete anarchy up in here.
Everybody want to get a new pastor.
That's right. Everybody wanted to be the pastor.
Uh-oh.
They come out the woodwork then. Oh, I'm the pastor now.
You know, me in charge.
That's right. I'm in charge. You know. So just imagine, as you've been a pastor and don't show up, or or whatever, you take a leave of absence, and
there's no order.
There's no order. So what do you think happens when there's a father that's missing in the
MIA?
There's no order. When stuff is out of order, it don't work. That's what I was always told.
And God says that we should do things decently.
And in order. So if the father ain't there, I'm just saying ain't tonight, but I'm so sorry, forgive me. And I got to go to work on Monday. I got to get it right. But if the father's not there, how can you expect as for the family to function properly? You know, we doing okay. It's like you riding on a car and you got a donut on one side.
Yeah,
it ain't gonna ride right.
Yeah, yeah.
You can get away with it for
right,
a while,
right.
But eventually
it's not the way it's designed.
It's not the way it's designed. And if you got a donut on the car, it's gonna be an imbalance. Some it's gonna
can't
be imbalance.
Can't go as fast as you want.
That's
imbalance.
Right. It's imbalance. All that. Same thing with the family. You can substitute it, but there is no replacement for it.
Say that again.
You can substitute it, but there's no replacement for it.
Yes. That's
you know, you can, and that's what we've done.
That's exactly what we're doing.
We're substituting, but you can't replace, you know, the presence of a father in the home. And I know people probably going to tune us out or whatever. But I'm sorry, you know, we just telling it like it is, you know, and that's the one thing that we really have to get back to. Men be men.
Be a part of the family
unit.
Your role is critical.
That's right. Everybody can be a daddy. You know what I'm saying? But we need fathers in the home to help raise these children, guard it, protect it. Because we know the enemy's desire is to have our children.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing a good job plucking them off, like
fish in a barrel.
That's right. You know? Throwing the net and just getting them. You know, just casting the net, you know. But like we said, we have children out here who don't have family protection, don't have guidance, don't have any. So like you say, when things come up, that's what they're going to be successful to. All things to those.
And
we see it all the time. I mean, I've been in church all my life. Come to church every Sunday. And still,
left off.
Get plucked off and fall victim to that.
You know, we're at the bottom of the hour. Time is rolling, and we're going to take a break. We're going to come right back, but we're talking about the importance of family. It really wants to jog your thought process.
Right,
we really want you
right.
to start thinking about you know, what it takes to sacrifice, you know, to be a family. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. You know, some of the solutions, some of the things that can be put into place to help, you know, keep the family unit together and a viable part of our community so our community can experience wellness. We're going to be back in about 2 minutes. When we come back, join the conversation at 347-324-5569, and when you want to talk to us, push 1, and it'll put you in the queue. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you. Somebody like you.
Majority of them
are single parents, and that's at the church. And one of the things as men, we can be here to encourage them, to lead the way, to show them, you know, that they might have not know who their father is or where their father is, or he may not be involved, or their mother may not be involved. But we as a church, we can help stand in the gap to be that family. We can be supportive there and there, you know, having a good time, eating food. You know, they went out and did something positive. So we're being a family to them and showing them how to be a family to somebody else. And that's what's so important of our role, that we're here, that we're visible, that we're you know, we're feeding them, we're clothing people, you know, we're doing the things that God has left on record for us to do. And you know, I shared with the deacons when we had this vision that, you know, if we don't do anything else, you know, we're going to feed and we're going to clothe, you know, because God said that when you did it to the least of these, that you've done it unto Him.
That's right.
So, you know, you can put all the religious and tradition aside, you know, but when you are your brother's keeper, and when you see someone and you help them that are hungry, and when you help them that are in need of clothing, then they will be more susceptible to listen to the gospel message.
That's right.
But if I'm hungry and I need clothes, or I'm cold and I'm naked and don't have anything in my belly or nothing on my back, you know, you can talk that gospel message all you want.
That's right.
But I'm not going to be susceptible to hear it and receive it when my stomach's full and I got something on my back. So that's where we're teaching people to think family. Families look out for each other. Families help each other, whether it's clothing, whether it's food. You can always help somebody with food and clothing. And that's what family's all about. You know, all our families are not perfect. We have all kind of dysfunction and you know, single parents and, you know, all kind of, every situation is in the world. But it can be helped by a family reaching out to someone. So your family, my family, we're reaching out to the single parents and the kids with no fathers and no mothers in the church, and then we're teaching them to reach out to the community, to people that are in similar situations, and teaching them that with God's help, you know, all of us can experience wellness, and all of us can experience the things that a family can bring in the community if we all work together as a family. Reverend
B? You know, Pastor Steve, one of the things I know we were talking about before we went on break was that we said that, you know, the church does mirror what we see in society. And like you said, you know, even tonight, look at people, young children that are here, they come from single parent homes. And so now we're saying, well, what is the next step? You know, we're not, and in most cases, we're not going to be able to reach the fathers. We may not even know who the fathers are, where they can be found. But the one thing that we do know is that, you know, this is what I've always, you know, envisioned the church to be, is that gap fill.
Yeah.
You know, wherever there's a gap, then that's where the church comes in and speaks. So even, you know, in the cases of children who come from single family homes, that the church could be that family, you know, that they don't have, that they could, you know, find a positive male figure that,
absolutely,
you know, they could, you know, confide in or talk to and say, you know what, even if I don't have my biological father, I know I can talk. I can hit my pastor up on the phone and hit up Redfield, whoever, and feel that everything is going to be okay. And so, you know, that's what we, you know, the church needs to start doing, is to identify what the needs are of our members, you know, and then be able to help meet those. Because we do have a lot of children in our church, in your church as well as my church, where, you know, there are tons of single moms who are raising children. Daddies are just
MIA,
incognito, whatever they doing.
Incarcerated
or whatever, you know, whatever the N word you want to use, you know, they're somewhere, you know, but they're not where they should be or need to be. And so, you know, where, you know,
it's a challenge.
That's where we have to step up and really help to fill that gap and to make that easy, you know, for a lot of these children to grow up without positive father figures or some cases.
And I believe that should be the voice coming from every book.
Every book.
It should be the voice coming from every book.
And you know, that's a very good point, Pastor. That should be something that's spoken, you know, every Sunday.
And that
we're here to help one another.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the need is, we should be here to help one another. So this, as we say, you know, we read the Baptist covenant to lift up one another. You know, when one hurts, we all hurt, bear one another's burdens. We say it every time but how many of us actually take to heart what that thing is saying? You know, we say it, but do we really mean it? Do we see evidence that we really believe what the covenant says? And in most cases, we don't. You know, but that's for another Sunday sermon. But like you say, you know, Pastor C, you know, the church is another critical resource. That church, you know, should almost be an extension
of the family.
You know, so even if you don't have it in your biological, you can say, you know what, my spiritual family will be able to meet that same need. You know, we're asking it, like you said, like we have the challenge of churches. Reach out.
Make it a part of the conversation.
Make it a part of the conversation. Reach out to your single mom, single parent, and help them.
They need help.
You know, encourage them and lift them up. And all this because it's frustrating. We're trying to work and raise kids, and you're doing it by yourself.
And they do a great job.
And
they do a great job.
But we know it gets hard because
But they should have a movie night. They should have a spaghetti night.
They should have a hot dog night. You know, everybody.
And you can have it at the church, just like tonight.
That's right. Just everybody just come.
All of them in there sitting around and say,
"That's right. Come around, just fellowship, and talk, and have a good time." You know what? All I got to do is come to church. I ain't got to make no money.
And in the end, what happens is, you'll have that story like we have that story of what family was to us and how important it was. Because our church family was our extended family that helped us. And that's what our memories are made of. Like you and I, we can go back and look down the neighborhood, look down the street, and we can see that family.
That's right.
But that dynamic has changed. So now, like you said, the church would stand in the gap, and then we would be able to, that extended family to... that they will have memories of the movie night. They'll have a memory of the spaghetti night. They'll have a memory of the passing out the flyers, and then on tomorrow the hot dogs and that whole clothing giveaway. They'll have those memories. They'll have those boundaries, and they'll have that structure. And so that's where we have to come in to help.
That's right, absolutely. And, you know, like you say, we're just filling in the gap. You know, we're meeting the need where the need needs to be met. And we're giving hope, you know.
So, like you said earlier, that's something they're seeing.
That's right.
Where you said if you didn't see,
You can't see if you don't know it. If you've never seen it, you don't know what to look for. So if these young girls and these young boys say, I have seen it. I may not have seen it in my home, but I've seen it in my church, and I know what to look for. You know, and that will help them in the long run to make those crucial decisions and not fall victim to sweet-talking guys or deceptive young ladies who ain't about nothing, whatever, you know, because they've been grounded, they also know what to look for,
exactly.
You know, and so that to me is crucial component. And most importantly, like you say, you know, the family is the protector of the children. We're not sending our children out here unguarded or unprotected. At least we know that when they do go out here, that there is some protection for them, that they can be shielded, that they can be covered from whatever they might be exposed to, because they know at the end of the day, I got a family that's got my back, you know, it's going to be there for me. Sometimes I go out here and do nothing stupid or look for something,
right.
You know, past the season that I know is bad.
Right.
You know, because they know.
they got some act right.
That's right. That's right. They got some act right and some know-how.
They got some act right and some know-how.
That's right. That's
because
right.
they've seen it demonstrated by the fact. You know, you don't want to go out there and act like you got some home training.
That's
you want
right.
to go out and act like you got some home
yeah,
training. You know, you remember that one? That they don't say that too much. Act like you got some good home training.
Because number one, they ain't got no home, and they definitely ain't got no training.
You ain't got neither one of them.
I mean, it's sad to say. It's sad to say, but, you know, you got to, in order to get the home training, you first got to have a home.
And some training.
And then you got to have some training, you know. And they don't have it. You send these kids out here with nothing. No type of nothing. No training, no home training.
But you remember that when you're saying, act like you got a home training.
Act like you got some home
Go out training. There and represent
like
your family.
Act like you've been raised
right.
You know? Yeah, that's right. Act like you got a mom. Act like you got a mom and daddy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
right,
saying?
Exactly.
Just stuff they used to say, but, you know, it was like cliches, but he was like, you know what, they are telling the
mm-hmm.
truth. You know, I shouldn't be acting like this. I got a mom and a daddy. I'm
right.
Like, my parents raised me right. They told me that what I need to do and what I don't need to do. And
right.
How to talk and all that other stuff, you know. So, you know, it goes a long way, Pastor, you know, to have that, you know, to have that family foundation that keeps you around, you know, stable for the rest of your life. And I mean, the stuff that you just learn.
So that family
all goes
so
back.
Important.
Yes, it all
so
goes back.
It's critical. And I think we've just taken it for granted. And so what we have to, like I said, every pulpit needs to speak to. We need to be the clarion voice in the community to support the family.
That's right.
To promote the family.
That's what it's all about. And, you know, and like you say, you know, that panic family, what's this accepted by society? It's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, so far away.
I mean, not only are we talking about single family homes, we're talking about single-sex homes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
it's gotten so far away.
Oh, it's off the spectrum. You know, it's just like in another stratosphere. You know, it's just like almost unheard of, unthought of that acceptable families would be two women, two men
adopting.
Which goes against creation.
That's right.
You know, it's just unbelievable. But that's where we've got. You know, or just and you know, so and then you wonder about the state of the children. You know, that they grow up. In
yeah, my biological parents didn't want me.
Exactly.
And now
these two men or these two women.
They're my family.
They're my family. And I don't know who's mommy, and I don't know who's daddy. But that's a whole nother topic, show, conversation.
That's it's him.
Oh, that's a headache with Excedrin on
it's
the way.
Him.
Yeah, but that's what we.
But that's what you have.
That's what you have.
Because you've gotten away from.
Because what did we say? They're substituting. You know.
And you don't have wellness, so
that's
you,
right.
you experience sickness.
You just substitute, you're not replacing the substitute. So wherever that father is, it's not, that mother is not, then it's just replaced with a substitute. It's artificial. You know, it's not real. Things that are artificial are not real, they're not authentic.
And that's what you end up. So we need to get back to the genuine article.
That's right.
We need to get back to the print.
That's right. To the foundation.
Right.
You know, we need to get back to the original game, which was, you know, a father and a mother.
Right. That hung around.
A male and a female.
That hung around.
That worked it out, that stayed together. Through the good times, the bad times, rich or poor, sickness, understood what those vows meant when they decided to get married, that we work this out regardless of what happened. Even if it ain't for our sake, for the sake of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what most families did in the back.
They sure did.
Even if it ain't about me and you, it's about the family.
for the sake of the family.
For the sake of
then you got all these psychologists, doctors, therapists, lay you on the couch and say, it's not your fault. Blase, blase, leave $300 in the door, come back next week, bring another $300. You know, all this no responsibility.
And no accountability.
And no accountability. And that's what's going to help us, the family. When you have responsibility, you have accountability. And that's where it's going to start. That's how we're going to start experiencing wellness. When people get together, the mother and the father get together, and they say, we're going to start a family, that they know they have responsibility and accountability to finish that thing.
That's right.
Follow it through.
That's right. Nobody wants to stick around for the finished product. You know. And you gotta realize, you know, Pastor, anything that you do, it's gonna look messy at times.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a process.
There you go.
It's just like baking a cake.
We talked about that process.
Baking a cake
is not
a pretty thing. You will have stuff everywhere. It's going to be ugly looking and all that other stuff. But guess what?
Final product.
Which, you know, and that's the same thing with family.
Like I said, it's in the Bible.
Some ugly situations, but you gotta see it through, you know, and work it out, you know, because at the end of the day, that's what God gives you those blessings.
And you get strong.
You get strong through your faith. That's how you get strong. You go through something with somebody. You know, when that family goes through that crisis and they're able to still make it through at the end of the day and everybody still loves each other, you know.
At the end of the day,
you know, and you can look back and say, man, remember when we went?
Exactly.
But guess what?
Made it with the help of God.
That's with the help of God. You know.
Well, Rick B, I'm always putting a challenge out there.
That's right.
To the place. I'm gonna let you put it out there today. You put it out there today.
Definitely, you know, like this tonight we've been talking about. So this is a great topic because family entails so much, and you know, like I said, family is the greatest resource that we have. And so, you know, like challenging pastors and churches, you know, to be that voice,
mm-hmm. you
know, but also to be that gap filler, you know, that solidifies to help families, help single parents, mentor them, you know, grow up the majority of the time with a father figure in their home, a positive role model they see our kids in church. So we're challenging to reach out and help, you know, do family outing and like just what we're doing tonight, go out and just, you know, have spaghetti dinner and a movie, you know, and have a good time.
Don't cost you nothing.
All you gotta do is just drive out to the church. Have a good time, family. That's what it's all about. It's just like get together with your family on Thanksgiving. It's like
the best time.
They say you only do it once a year, but it should be something you should do all the time with a family. You have to have a fellowship. That's what we want the church to do, start establishing those family fellowships. Come out and love on one another.
There you go.
And just have a good time.
There you
go. And that way, people will go out feeling better, knowing that I do have a family.
Yeah.
And I do have people that love
me. And care about
me. And care about me. We have good support. So we're challenging the churches to start that. Have a family ministry.
You know,
have a family ministry. We just have family out here. Family with churches come together to fellowship. Everyone, even if it's just coming, you know, break bread together and watch a movie. But that's family.
Yeah.
Because those, to be pastors, get a moment that are just priceless. You can't go nowhere and buy nothing.
Right.
You can't even put a price on it. price tag on what you're doing for people. And you don't even realize what that will do to people. Mental, psychic, and spirit. It could just be a pick-me-up. All right. Because I got a man. So, we're challenges in the past. Yeah. And I tell you, time has gone by so fast. Like we're already almost at the top of the hour. But, of course, and we've been mad tonight. We're here on location at the Heart of God Baptist Church. Don't forget, tomorrow is our fourth go round for the free Saturday giveaway. This August 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Don't forget, Heart of God Baptist Church, 7 Chesapeake Road.
Look at all the clothes.
We got a room for the clothes. That's right. 3205-206. We're right off of Landover Hills Road. We land over right in Landover Hills, Maryland, right off of 450. Come on out tomorrow, be a blessing, and bring more clothes. You got a room full of clothes over here.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know what? It's no such thing as enough when it comes.
Overflow.
That's an overflow. So we definitely want to be a blessing. Down tomorrow, Pastor Pete.
Again, we're just thanking everyone for putting us in this position to be able to minister to you. Without your support, we wouldn't be here.
Amen.
And you know, this is real. You know, we're just talking about real things. You know, some of the stuff you might agree with, some you might not. But you know, this is real. We're talking about what's going on in our world, what's going on in our community. We're just going to continue that way, you know, we just want to be a blessing, and truly our desire is for our community to experience wellness, and that's what we want to get people connected with those resources that are going to allow the community to experience wellness. So we're going to broadcast a little bit, probably from 2 to 3, or maybe from a 1 to 3 on tomorrow, just getting some people's opinions on what was going on out in the parking lot. So please, ma'am, please, sir, now that you have the resource, you need to
get connected.
Good night, and we'll talk to you on tomorrow night.
God bless.